What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Temperatures have dropped below freezing again after we had that brief warm-up today, and we saw some of the snow melt, but huge piles of it still remain all across South Louisiana. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Mike Dettillier. Coming up later this hour, we're going to check in with the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development and find out when will we finally get the I-10 open through our region. When will we finally get the causeway open, bridges and overpasses, and be able to move about once again here in Southeast Louisiana after yesterday's historic snowfall. That's all coming up here on WWL. But right now, Mike, we got to welcome in Deuce McAllister, the Saints color analyst and Saints legend, joins us now here on WWL. Deuce, how'd you make out in the winter storm?
Pretty good, and I got to give a shout out to the WWL team for the coverage that has been given throughout. We'll call it this snowstorm, this whatever name we want to give it. It's been obviously unprecedented, and it's amazing to see. But I have had enough, and so snow, you can go. It's time for you to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel the way you do. It was really pretty. It was neat to be a part of history, but enough is enough.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, it looks like when you look at, I think it's next week or maybe in 2 weeks, there's another cold Arctic blast, maybe possibly approaching. Hopefully, our weathermen, and I don't mean, and weather ladies, I don't mean to be mean, but you know, normally you're only right 50% of the time, and this time I'm hoping that you're 50% wrong in 2 weeks when it's supposed to be another Arctic blast coming through to us.
Well, they got this one right, so let's hope that, you know, the next one is wrong, especially since it's going to be right around that little football game we got coming to New Orleans called the Super Bowl.
That's exactly right, and so intrigued about that, and you know, I think obviously there's a lot of excitement for the city and then the teams that are vying for that opportunity, and you know, just some of the head coaching jobs and that have been filled, and the Saints still in that process, and actually the weather slowing them down on interviewing some of those potential coaches, not being able to get into New Orleans. And so that's unfortunate, but you know, that's just a part of something that you have to deal with when you can't control the elements.
Deuce, your thoughts on the Aaron Glenn going to the Jets? You know, I think he was up on the list for the Saints also, no question about it. You knew him as a player, covering the team, and certainly as an assistant coach. But I'll get your thoughts on Mike McCarthy, because you know, Mike's been in this league a long time. He was with the Saints as an assistant coach in coaching the quarterbacks, offensive coordinator, and worked with Aaron Brooks, Jake Delhomme. Even Mark Bolger was here. Now, Mark didn't stay long here, but then, you know, he had a decent career with the Rams, and he goes on to become the head coach with the Packers and also with the Cowboys. And for a lot of people, man, I hear a lot of negativity about Mike, but my thing is, man, look at his record. Again, playoff record with the Cowboys has not been good, 1-3. But, man, it's hard to win in this league. And when you win 12 games, three straight years, I also thought he did a really nice job elevating the play of Dak Prescott at quarterback. And last year, he was winning games with Cooper Rush at quarterback. I thought the biggest hit with him was in the offseason, he lost Dan Quinn, his defensive coordinator. He became the head coach with the Washington Commanders. And Jerry wanted Mike Zimmer. And when Jerry wants something, Jerry gets it. Zimmer becomes the new defensive coordinator, and that team struggled from start to finish on the defensive side of the football. But your thoughts on Mike?
Well, I'll give you AG first. Obviously, I want to congratulate Aaron for taking the job with the Jets team that drafted him, first rounder, played there 8 years, left, became a scout for the Jets as well. And, you know, obviously a lot of people remember him for AG was a teammate of mine. And, you know, AG obviously coached here in New Orleans, but, you know, people feel that he didn't want to come back because of Mickey Loomis. That's not true, but hey, you know, people have their opinion. They can say what they choose. He made a decision that he felt like was best for him. And so, you know, the Saints, obviously he was on the list as far as a coach, but you didn't get a chance to kind of get him in the building again, if that makes sense, after their season was over. And so first for AG, you know, congratulations to him. And, you know, you're happy for him because he was a guy that was eventually going to get that opportunity. And so he got to choose where he wanted to go. And, you know, he chose the Jets. And so for the Saints, having the opportunity to, you know, interview some guys, Mike McCarthy, who I played for as well, so I know Mike really well. And I think a lot of the dislike with Mike is probably the recent bias, or at least the dislike for the Cowboys. But when you look at the book of work, if you put his resume, you put Sean Payton's resume, you put Mike Tomlin's resume, and you take off the names, they're going to be very, very, very similar. All have won a Super Bowl, all have been to multiple playoffs, and, you know, you have success and losses in the playoffs, but all of them have that. And so, for me, Mike would be a guy that's high up on the list. I'm not making a decision for the Saints. You know, that's something that they're going to have to do, and they've sat down and they'll interview those guys. They got to find the fit that they feel like is best for this team. You know, and for me, knowing Mike, knowing his system, he's willing and able to change. He is going to, you know, at times he allowed Kellen Moore to call plays. Kellen Moore is now obviously the offensive coordinator, and the Saints have interest in him. Offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike has called his own plays. He's done it in Green Bay. He's worked. He did it in San Francisco. He's did it in New Orleans, even going back to Kansas City. And so some of the quarterbacks going back, like you talked about, Aaron Brooks, Jake DeLome, Mark Bolger, even Brett Favre, you know, back up and when he was in Green Bay, even I can't even think maybe it was Dilfer and he had Hasselbeck, you know, some of the guys that they had all up in Green Bay, and to be able to work with them and have some success. And, you know, he's a good coordinator. He's a good head coach. But like I said, you know, you look at Dallas not being able to win the big game, and, you know, ultimately that's going to fall on Mike. But if you know the team and the structure, you know, Jerry has a lot to do with that as well, as far as how it's structured. But at the end of the day, it's about players making plays out on the field.
Deuce, we talked about the AFC Championship game, and I ain't betting against Pat Mahomes. No, listen, you ain't won no money if you betting against him. The only time he's been sort of clipped was Joe Burrow, and they had a decent defense back then for the Bengals, not like they do today. But the one thing I think that gives the Bills a shot here, and certainly Josh Allen's a big part of it, but Joe Brady brought to the table a running game that the Bills didn't have before. Their running game really was Josh Allen running the ball. Now you look at the way they can run the football, and you just can't rely on Josh throwing the football 40 times in a game. You got to be able to give some balance there offensively. And I think that's the one thing you got to kind of tip the cap to Joe. He was able to come in, and a lot of the same sort of concepts we saw when he was at LSU that got put in, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire was really successful running the football there, are there with the Bills. I think they got a fighting chance. I would never pick them against Mahomes, but I think because they have a balanced offense, and you couldn't really say that in the past with them, gives them more than a fighting shot against Kansas City.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Mike. I wouldn't give them a fighting chance. It would be higher than a fighting chance in this game, but I'm with you. I'm not picking them to win, but I wouldn't be surprised one bit if they do win that game. The elements won't bother them. I mean, you know, Buffalo, New York, so they're going to, you know, cold wind, whatever. That won't bother them. Them having the ability to run the football will definitely help them. I'm intrigued by the cat and mouse game that will be played between Joe Brady and Spags. And so Spags is a blitz heavy. He's a blitz heavy DC. That's what he likes to do. But will he choose to do that in this game? I mean, and for me, Buffalo is probably a better 12 team. But I don't know if they will live out of 12. They're going to get into the best personnel. You know, that's two tight ends. They're going to get into the best personnel sets that they feel like that they have an advantage against KC. And so injuries will play a part of that just because you're so deep into the season. And so, you know, for me, I like Kansas City probably in a close, wacky type game. But I wouldn't be one bit surprised if Buffalo goes in there and they pull it off.
And, Deuce, we're running out of time, but quickly on the NFC side, Commanders, Eagles, who are you picking in this one?
Yeah, home team, the Eagles. I mean, you got to watch the health of Hurts just because he did get banged up. But, I mean, if he can turn around and just hand the ball off 20, 30 times to Saquon Barkley, I mean, the Eagles, they're the strong team. But Jaden Daniels has been on a heck of a run as well.
All right, Deuce and Mike both believe the Chiefs and the Eagles are coming here to New Orleans to play in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. Deuce, thank you so much. Stay warm tonight, this last pipe-bursting potential cold, hard freeze tonight, and we're glad you're doing well through all this historic snowfall and everything else.
Thank you, Deuce.
Thank you.
All right, we're back with Ali Cosell. Talk about the Pelicans' decision to postpone tonight's game. And, well, it was the NBA's decision to postpone the game. And doesn't really feel like they had much of a decision because of all the conditions. But we'll ask him about this four-game winning streak that the Pels are on and what the potential is there. We're talking Pelicans and winter storm after this. We're checking in with DOTD before the hour's over to see when will the interstate and the bridges finally all be reopened. Louisiana's governor had a news conference today in which he told us that we should expect more freezing weather tonight with a possible pipe-bursting hard freeze, and that while they made a lot of progress clearing roads today, he expects to see icy conditions across the state once again tonight with that hard freeze. He says it will likely not be until Friday that the Bonnie Carey Spillway and the Twin Spans will reopen and that the I-10 through Metro New Orleans will be open once again. So today is Wednesday. We got to get through another hard freeze tonight, then hopefully a lot of progress tomorrow and everything back to normal on Friday. I'm Dave Cohen along with Mike Dettillier. And Ali Cosell joins us, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. And Ali, the Pelicans were supposed to be playing right now, but thanks to this winter storm, they just couldn't make it happen at the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, look, we had the feeling yesterday all day.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But today there would be no game, right? When you see how much snow come down and you know New Orleans just simply doesn't have, you know, the salt, the trucks, the manpower to take care of the streets simply because there's no need for it, right? I mean, what was the longest, or excuse me,
it's
the biggest.
It's been 130 years since we've seen this kind of snow.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah.
18.
There you go.
And so, yeah, there really wasn't a decision to be made, huh?
No, not really. I mean, from what I heard is that a lot of the people that depend on local transportation to get to the game, obviously the RTA, they were out today. So if you can't get the ushers in, the people working concessions and such, well, you can't really hold a game, right? Even though you wouldn't have expected a lot of fans to show up, still, you need to be able to hold the game. And, of course, you got to be able to make sure that you can ensure, right, the sidewalks be clear, ice-free. And so there's a lot of negligence issues that probably would have arisen had you tried to hold a game. So, no, it just made all the sense in the world. Just postpone it for now.
Yeah, Ollie, you know, we were talking about this before, that almost like when we saw this weather yesterday, it was like, oh, they're not playing this game tomorrow. But, man, when you're winning, okay, because they got a four-game winning streak now, and you've covered this for a long period of time. Man, you want to get back on the court, or you want to get back on the football field or baseball diamond, whatever. You want to get back on because you're winning and you feel as though, hey, we got some confidence now. And especially the way they won the last game where, man, in the first quarter against the Jazz, they were half asleep. And the Jazz, you know, doubled the score on them. And then you saw them make that late run and make it four in a row. I guess the best way to put it is, man, I'd want to play tonight. I mean, I understand why you can't, but I would want to be back on that court because now you almost feel like, hey, I'm playing with a little bit of house money. Nobody's giving us a shot. Let's get back out there and you play in the Bucks, who, you know, they've had a bit of an erratic ride this year also, that you want to get back on the court because you see glimpses here of what we thought we would see before the season started.
Yeah, this is easily the best stretch of the season for the Pelicans, right? You mentioned a four-game winning streak. They've won seven of their last 10 games, and everything's pointing upwards in terms of the players playing. Right now, CJ's playing well. Trey Murphy's playing like an all-star for the last month. So both of those guys are averaging, say, about 24 points a game over these last 10 games. And you've added Zion. Right, Zion finally came back from his hamstring strain. DeJounte Murray, now he's playing better, right? He got off that awful start for the Pelicans. Couldn't make a shot, really. Was very turnover-prone, but over the last couple of weeks, he's figured it out. So suddenly, you potentially have four stars out there on the court every single night, and that's not counting Brandon Ingram, who's still out, right? And Herb Jones, he's a question mark to come back for the season. But I will say, Mike, there's kind of a silver lining to not playing tonight. Outside of the Pelicans' four-game winning streak, the next best winning streak, that's the Bucks, right? They also had a four-game winning streak. So those two teams, biggest winning streaks in the NBA, so they were going to come in kind of hot. Moreover, you weren't sure if tonight Zion and Eve Missy could have played, right? Because they missed the last game due to a non-COVID illness, and it would have been probably questionable to play tonight as well. So you give those guys some more extra rest, the whole team extra rest. And I think those good vibes you're talking about, players wanting to play when they're playing well, I guarantee you that's going to carry over. It's not going to go away. Just like losses, you know, that kind of maybe sit in your head, wins, that still carries you through the day too.
What about Friday's game going up against Memphis and the Grizzlies? We've seen them make some strong runs, and then they kind of cool a little bit, and then they make another strong run at it. Your thoughts on the matchup between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies?
Grizzlies is a tough one, right? They've jumped back into contention for potentially a nice championship run this year. Right, last year, they got decimated. All those injuries they suffered, finished, you know, poorly, didn't even get in the play-in tournament. And, of course, they're having that bounce-back season because prior to last season, they looked like to be one of the best Western teams that were going to be around for the next 10 years or so, right, behind John Morant, Jaren Jackson. But they took that step back last year, and due to that, they were able to draft Zach Edey. So it's pretty much a well-rounded team, right? You look at them, they've got size, speed, and boy, do they play fast. That's going to be the biggest thing for the Pelicans. This team loves to get out and put 140 points on you, get as many transition points as possible. So this matchup is kind of scary, right? Pelicans are going to play a legitimate, you know, like I said, a top three team in the NBA, especially here in the Western Conference. So they're going to have to be, you know, basically no letdowns, right? What you saw against the Utah Jazz, falling behind by 21 points, 25 for the game, you can't allow yourself to dig that big of a hole and then expect to come back against a caliber team. So it's going to take, and hopefully Zion can play, take that all your stars show up. That usually always helps, right? Everybody gives you about 18 to 20 points or so. And, of course, the defense, which has been playing better too, they show up as well, right? Don't let Memphis get, say, 30 easy points in transition.
You know, you got a couple of players sick. That's something, and then they've been sick for a few days now with Zion and Misi. How are they doing? Are they okay?
Yeah, I know. Fortunately, it wasn't COVID-related, right? So you've got to think that probably by now they're all feeling better, especially Eve, because he had missed the previous two. Zion, just the last one. So from what I'm hearing, it wasn't anything significant, at least for Zion. So we all fully expect for him to play against Memphis.
Ollie, when you look at Memphis, I thought before the season that they were sort of the blueprint of what the Pelicans wanted to be.
Yes.
A team that would run the court fast, you know, get out those threes, score a lot of transition points. And I still have a feeling that's what they want to be like. They want to be and play a lot like the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, and honestly, if you look at the stats from the last 10 games, because let's face it, these are the stats that are most important for should be for Pels fans, because this is where you've had the legitimate core group of your players available, right? Those first, you know, 2 months, you have Brandon Ingram largely by himself, right, with a bunch of other guys, none of these key guys. So now the last 10 games, what you're seeing from the stats is the fact that the Pelicans are right there, over 43s a game. And going into the last game, they were actually first in three-point attempts for the month of January. Now I think they've slipped to fourth, but you understand what I'm trying to say. They're still way up there, exactly what you want to see. And it makes all the sense in the world, right? You've got Trey Murphy, CJ. Now DeJounte Murray shooting better. You've got Jordan Hawkins off the bench. You've got a lot of good three-point shooters. So you should always be shooting at least 43s per game. And, of course, in transition, yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. When you've got a steamroller like Zion who, you know, let's face it, nobody can guard him one-on-one, and he's so fast, can grab his own rebound, push that ball. And you've got DeJounte who's slick now. And basically, the Pelicans almost have 2 point guards on the team out there. When they were missing, you know, what, 20-odd games, Pelicans really suffered, right, to get those easy points. Now that these guys are back, they're scoring in bunches. I want to say the Pels are in the top three in transition points, fast break points, top three, top five, since, you know, all these guys have come back. So they are playing like Memphis for right now.
And we will see how well they can play like Memphis against Memphis coming up. Ollie, thanks so much for joining us. Should be an exciting stretch here for the Pelicans. Let's hope we're seeing the team on the court now that we thought we'd see when this season started. I'm Dave Cohen along with Mike Dettillier. When we come back, we're going to get an update from the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development for you. After another hard freeze tonight and potential ice all over our roads, our highways, our interstates, and our bridges, when will we finally see significant reopenings and be allowed and able to move around once again? We're checking in with the Department of Transportation and Development after this. I'm Dave Cohen. Mike Dettillier, it's 26 degrees right now in Hammond, 27 in Kenner, and we just dropped down to 23 down in your neck of the woods in Galliano. 23 degrees!
That's mighty cool down here.
Yeah.
Mighty cold, brother.
And last night we saw single digits across the region, teens, and wind chills even colder. Oh, my goodness. So here we go again. Daniel Gitlin is with the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. Daniel, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I've been here almost 30 years. Mike's been down on the bayou a whole longer than that, and we've never seen anything like this in southeast Louisiana.
Yeah, this is definitely unprecedented. You know, we were looking at a couple inches, and just yesterday it all came down. And considering what we got, I think we've responded, and everybody in the community has been so outstanding listening to our request to stay off the roads. I do have some breaking news for you. So,
well, let's not wait for that.
I got to get a message out right now, and that is we had opened the Crescent City Connection in one lane in each direction today. We worked really hard to do that. Right now, we are closing the Crescent City Connection overnight, and there's a reason for that. The New Orleans Police Department has asked us to do that because the surface streets leading to the Crescent City Connection have been overcrowded with cars, and they've had a lot of accidents. So NOPD has basically asked us to hold off on keeping the bridge open until tomorrow, so when conditions improve. So that, you know, that's something that we had, you know, you can't really foresee that. But safety is number one. So for the rest of the night, Crescent City Connection Bridge is closed, and that is for safety reasons. So I do have some other good news for you, though.
Well, before we move on to that, I just want to ask you. So the connection, yeah, we again closed that down because we're seeing too many vehicles crashing when they're coming off at Chapultepec or in that surrounding area or at General de Gaulle. So now, once again, if you have to cross the river, you'll have to go all the way to Gramercy to cross the river again, right?
That's not correct, because we've opened up the Huey P. Long Bridge.
Ah, that was the other bit of news. So, all right.
Yeah. So I had something for you. So in one lane in each direction, we have crews over in Bridge City who've been working nonstop around the clock, and they have not only opened it in one lane in each direction, they've got crews working all night long, putting salt down to make sure that that bridge stays open all night. So, you know, a little wrench in the plan, certainly disappointing. Safety is number one. And as you know, we work very closely with our police departments to make sure that everybody is protected. So they reached out to us, NOPD. Certainly we closed the bridge for that. And, you know, it's because it's so frigid cold outside. And, you know, one more night to get through, and hopefully, you know, we'll see some reopenings tomorrow.
Well, Daniel, that's great news, because I understand the problem with the Crescent City connection, but at least now you don't have to drive to St. James Parish if you have to cross the river. You only have to go next door to Jefferson Parish, Bridge City, and Elmwood. So that's a much easier track. Again, only absolutely have to cross the river, but at least it's available for emergency services and for others who have to do it. Meanwhile, we're worried about the interstates. I'm looking at a live shot on 511LA.org right now of I-10 at Williams, and there's got to be 8-10 inches of snow still sitting on the Williams overpass at I-10, and you see similar scenes as you look across the interstates throughout the New Orleans metro area between LaPlace all the way over to Slidell. What is the prognosis for those?
You know, you're exactly right. And the interstate is a challenge, you know, because there's so many overpasses, certainly, and you have wide lanes right there. A lot of snow and ice still on the interstate. There's good news, though, with that. We have crews making their way from Lake Charles and Lafayette as the interstate opens up from that Texas-Louisiana border. And we're planning on seeing some real progress tomorrow. We have crews stationed and ice. We have salt trucks and plows ready, stationed to go. The real key here is that once you drop below 20 degrees, that salt doesn't really do a lot. And the de-icing fluid that you would put on it can easily refreeze. So we have to get above 20 degrees in order to make progress. The good news for tomorrow is, even though it's going to be really cold, it's going to warm up considerably in the morning, so that by 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, we're back over that threshold. So, you know, again, it's like you have to just hold on for one more night, and then we'll start seeing some real progress. And the good news also is we're making progress on, you know, US 90 and US 61 airline highway is open. So don't focus just on the interstates. There are going to be ways to get from point A to point B across the city, and then that's going to be really tomorrow. Those are our primary routes, the ones we didn't think we were going to lose, if you would, because we were stationed to cover those, and we just got blown away by snow and overwhelmed. So we are going back to get those primary routes open. We need to make sure that first responders can get to all of our citizens, especially some of them, you know, along coastal areas. And then we will get the interstates open, too. So you're going to see multiple crews out there tomorrow. You're going to see crews working on the interstate. But then we also anticipate getting much more of U.S. 90 open tomorrow. So we are making progress. But this is why the message has been out there not to drive unless you absolutely have to, because there are that things that may change, as we saw, safety, number one, working, you know, with the police. So good things are going to start happening starting tomorrow, and we just got to hold on for one more night.
Daniel, one of the things I know I hear about it a lot, especially today, and we have a number of people living on the bayou that have jobs in Metairie or Kenner or New Orleans, and they travel the Hale Boggs Bridge. So just get your thoughts on, and not trying to put you on the spot, of if, you know, sometime during the day that'll be fully reopened.
Yeah. I-310, that Hale Boggs Bridge, that's on our priority list. So you're going to see that bridge. They've been working on it. That bridge is probably going to be one of those that reopens tomorrow. We absolutely understand the need to get those bridges back open. You know, our goal by tomorrow, you know, we want to have all three of those bridges. You know, the Hale Boggs, certainly Huey P. Long and Crescent City Connection. Not only that, you know, work to get multiple lanes open on these bridges. But
right.
And that, you know, the key here is, you know, you got a lane open on these bridges, it's not enough to handle regular traffic or anything close to that. So if you're going to go out and you need to travel, you need to understand that it's going to take you 2, 3, 4 times longer than it would under normal circumstances. And it's not going to be until Saturday and, you know, Sunday where we're back to what we're used to. So, again, this is an unprecedented event, 130 years in the making, as they say. The fact that we're where we are right now is astounding. It's just a credit to not only the citizens for staying off the streets, but for all our crews, for the state and local police officers, Homeland Security, and all the parish presidents out there who've been very vocal. We've had the same consistent message from day one, which is we need to stay off the roads. And that's just, it's worked. It's been so powerful. It's nice to see government really working well and effectively. And, I'm just so proud to be part of this DOT crew. I'm so proud to be part of the team. It's been an unbelievable experience. And you guys, too, the media has been outstanding getting that message out. We absolutely could not do it without you. So this is, you know, this is everybody working together to get to this point. We're so close. We're so close. You know, give me 24 more hours, you know, and we will get to where we want to go.
Daniel, the Causeway general manager told us that he thinks it'll be Friday before they're able to completely open that bridge. What about the I-55 between La Place and Ponchatoula, the elevated section there, and the I-10 twin spans between New Orleans and Slidell? Well, what do you think is the status of those going forward?
It's probably more likely, Friday. We have to get the other priority routes working. Then we're going to hit those priority routes. The good news with those is that we do have secondary roads. You know, we have crews up on the North Shore keeping 51 open. So there are ways to get up to the North Shore and back. And certainly US 11 is open. So in that kind of a situation, you have the stream of traffic that's available. We may see that tomorrow. It depends on the weather and depends on what kind of progress we're making. Those are things we're going to talk about, you know, through the day tomorrow. Tomorrow's, you know, another day of hard work to get through. And that's why, again, you know, that's why the schools are closed, is because we need to make sure that people are not on the road unless they absolutely have to be. But there are some people who do need to be on the road, and we absolutely understand that. Some business and we have the ability to take those secondary roads, keep them open. But we're going to get there. We are absolutely going to get there. We're making progress. It's just a little bit at a time.
Daniel, we got One More Night for You there by Phil Collins. That's what you asked for. So we'll play you out with that. Thank you for joining us here on WWL and for all the hard work of all the men and women at DOTD working to get us back up and running and moving around after this unprecedented snowfall and winter storm. Stay warm out there. Daniel Gitlin from Department of Transportation and Development. All right, Mike Tatilia and I have some final thoughts right after this. All right, Mike, go trickle that hot water like Paul LaGrange told us, throw another log on the fire and bundle up. It's another cold night. You talked a lot about the Saints coaching search and Mike McCarthy and several other candidates. When do you think the Saints are going to be making a decision here?
I don't think it'll be anytime soon, to be honest with you. And normally the NFL frowns upon you making an announcement the week leading into Super Bowl Sunday. They want all the light. You know, they don't want to kind of shed it somewhere else, even though you might have a deal in place. To make that official announcement after the Super Bowl. And now with this delay because of the weather situation and just because of league rules, you have to interview, you know, a certain amount of candidates for the job. I don't expect that it'll happen. Well, certainly not this week or next week. I think what we're looking at is probably an announcement officially, even though, you know, that sort of stuff leaks out pretty quickly. It won't officially be announced until probably days after the Super Bowl.
All right, so we're looking at mid-February before we get an announcement of who's going to be the next Saints head coach. All right, Mike, we're another hard freeze tonight. Yeah, temperatures are dropping quickly. When we started this show, we were above freezing, and now we're in the 20s across the region, so it's plummeting in a hurry. And interestingly, the coldest spot I can find around here is right near you, down in Lafourche. It's 23 degrees already.
Yeah, you would figure. But listen, we've had a strange deal. We normally don't get the snow or the sleet. It normally happens on the North Shore. But it's all this time it's verse visa. And we're getting
that's awkward. Yeah. All right, Mike. Thank you. It's been a great pleasure with you the last couple of nights. Thanks to Diane Newman and Dan Barron, Charlie Long and Tim Zimmer in Master Control, Chris Miller, Joe Cardosi, Chris Franklin with the news, traffic, and weather. And for you out there spending the evening with us, I'm Dave Cohen. We'll get the latest now in your news, and we'll keep you posted on our website, on the air, and whenever we need to here on WWL. Have a great night. Stay warm.